Now we go to Jerusalem, Israel. David Dolan standing by. He's our broadcast partner there to give us information about what's happening. David, a lot of things happening this last week and into the future because of some of the voting there in Egypt. We'll get to that in a moment. But I guess the Orthodox Jews are going to set aside the things of the world, spend all night studying the Bible, the Torah in particular, first five books of the Bible, because it's traditionally the special Jewish holy day, one of the feast days, Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, when they celebrate the giving of the Torah. Is there a different atmosphere there in Jerusalem as they approach this time of study?
Well, it is, Jimmy, and this is a unique Shavuot this year in that it coincides exactly with the Christian celebration of Pentecost. And, of course, Pentecost, as you know, is the Greek word for Shavuot. It means 50th. And Shavuot means weeks, but it counts the 50th day after Passover. And it's rare that the Jewish and the Christian celebrations come on the same exact day. But it is happening this year, so the churches will be full here with Christians tomorrow celebrating Shavuot. And this evening, as you said, at sundown just a bit ago, began the Jewish festival of Shavuot, the holidays beginning in the evenings and going on to the next day. And lots of study sessions, as you said, going on all night. But not just the Orthodox are observing it, all Israelis do. They have special meals, traditionally dairy meals. They have fish and cheese and that sort of thing. I'm having some guests over here in a bit, in fact, for a special meal to commemorate the holiday. So hopefully it will be a quiet one. And it goes on for 2 days, actually, in the land. So people have a long weekend here like you do in the United States, and they're looking forward for just to a bit of a time off.
Now, David, you're just kind of teasing me a little bit, saying you're having some friends over for a delicious meal for Shavuot. I wish I could come and be along with you there, but indeed, that's an impossibility right now. By the way, we'll be talking with Rabbi Yoel Karen. He is an Orthodox Jew. We'll talk more about Shavuot. And Steve Herzig with Friends of Israel. That's upcoming in our last half hour here on Prophecy Today. David, the situation in the presidential election there in Egypt looks like one of the Islamists and one of the former members of the cabinet for Hosni Mubarak are going to be in a runoff election. What is that all about?
Well, it's not too surprising. The Muslim Brotherhood movement took over 50% of the parliament seats in elections held earlier this year, and another even more extreme Muslim group took another 20%. So they got by far the lion's share of the seats in the parliament. And indeed, the Muslim Brotherhood candidate, Mohammed Musri, has come out on top. According to the unofficial results, we don't yet have the state declaring that, but unofficially he's got the most votes, about 25%. And a former member of the Mubarak government, Ahmed Shafiq, is right behind him with about 24%. And those two men will now go at it for a second round vote in mid-June. But all the indications are that the Muslim Brotherhood candidate, Musri, will indeed win. He's 60 years old. He claims he's a fairly moderate Muslim, but if you read the Muslim Brotherhood's platform, if you know that Hamas came out of them, if you know that they've backed revolutions in other parts of the Middle East, the Israelis are very, very worried about the prospect of him becoming the next president and working with a Muslim Brotherhood-controlled parliament. But the question remains, what will the military do? They are very strongly backing Shafiq. He briefly served as prime minister on the last few days of Mubarak's rule, but was in the Mubarak cabinet. He is an ex-military leader himself, so he has ties with the West, with the United States, certainly more moderate on the Arab-Israeli peace treaty than the Muslim Brotherhood, which wants to see it, quote, reviewed, meaning they want to see it abrogated. So the Israelis will be watching this very, very closely, but the signs are not good. Looks like Egypt, the Arab world's largest country by far, the cultural center of the Arab world, is moving now into the Muslim fundamentalist, Sunni Muslim fundamentalist camp, with all the implications that has for the region, for the United States, for Israel, and for the whole world.
David, I reported about a week ago of one of the largest campaign rallies for the Muslim Brotherhood there in the large soccer stadium in Cairo. And Mohamed Morsi had along with him a radical Islamist who said that Morsi would indeed set up a worldwide caliphate in Jerusalem and that they would march to Jerusalem. Is this giving us evidence that this is somewhat of a radical who wants to really implement Sharia as well?
Well, again, the Muslim Brotherhood movement's policy guidelines have always been for a caliphate throughout the region, for the unification of the Arab world under Islamic tenets. And this harkens back to the great Egyptian leader Nasser, who wanted a pan-national Arab government to, you know, bring all the Arabs together. But that was more under a socialist basis. This is clearly under a Islamic fundamentalist basis. And the Israelis are under no illusion. He is a Muslim fundamentalist. They will back Hamas to the hilt right next door in the Gaza Strip. This will increase the flow of weapons and terrorism out of the Gaza Strip. It has very negative implications for Israel, but this is democracy. And, you know, I've been saying for years, our advocacy in the West for democracy in the Arab world is a two-edged sword, because if given a free vote in Jordan, if given a free vote in most of these countries, they would throw out any pro-Western governments and elect Muslim fundamentalist governments. And indeed, in the crisis in Syria right now, and they've had a huge explosion of violence just today, it's Muslim fundamentalists who want to take over. So it's not going to be a better situation for sure for Israel or the West. And that's very, very sad, but that's just the makeup of this region.
Well, indeed, a very good observation about democracy there in the Middle East, David. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's talk about, Sarah, you said an eruption of violence there. As I hear, there's a late report that a Russian ship is bringing arms into one of the Syrian ports for Bashar Assad. Talk to me about Syria right now.
Well, Jimmy, there was a real interesting expose article, I would say, in the Jerusalem Post last week talking about this steady stream of Russian weapons that have been coming into Syria's two ports, and Russia has military forces stationed at both ports on the Mediterranean Sea. They're coming from the southern part of Russia across the Caspian Sea through the Dardanelles Strait, where Istanbul is. They come into the Greek Aegean Islands and then come down to Syria. So, again, the Kremlin pretending to be sort of neutral in this is definitely not. They are backing Assad to the hilt and flowing in these weapons. But again, the Israelis are watching all this with consternation, Jimmy, because the opponents are increasingly being dominated by Al-Qaeda, by the Muslim Brotherhood movement. They'd like to see Assad removed, but not to be replaced by a Muslim fundamentalist Sunni government. It wouldn't be any better. So really, it's a lose-lose situation as far as Israel's concerned in this internal Syrian struggle. But what they're most worried about, Jimmy, is it's spreading into Lebanon. And we've seen in the last 2 weeks increasing violence inside of Lebanon between supporters and opponents of the Assad regime right next door. They have a vested interest in this very much. And the Nasrallah, the Hezbollah leader, even had to go on TV to try to calm his own Shiite people this week when Shiite pilgrims coming back from Iraq were kidnapped in northern Syria by Sunni Muslim rebels to the Assad regime. So this has the potential of reigniting the Lebanese civil war with Hezbollah heavily armed, closely allied with Iran, and that's the last thing the Israelis need. And basically, again, Netanyahu earlier this month saying, we need a unity government in Israel, because he didn't say it this way, but this was basically what he said, the region is coming apart at the seams, and we need to be as unified and strong as we can with all of this shaking going on all around us. And indeed, that's what's happening.
David, some great observations about what's happening there in the Middle East. And indeed, Prime Minister Netanyahu right on target. He is as strong as any prime minister's ever been in Israel. This is a time when he needs to have that strength there in the Israeli government. Have a great time with your guests coming over, David. And thank you so much for giving us insight in what's going on in that part of the world. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.